singing all the way around. She's probably the one that stamped your neck with that green or red, whatever it is there. There's lots of that going on last night. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Ephesians, and we'll be looking there this morning in chapter number 4. You find the place, if you're able to stand. Good singing all the way around. We bless the Lord for how good He's been to us and what God's doing and what He's done. And so in the book of Ephesians, in chapter number 4, and I want you to look in about verse number 3. In Ephesians, in chapter number 4 and in verse number 3. The Bible said there, well, let's start with verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Yes, you know how you got into the family of God? There was a calling. It was a calling by the word of the Lord, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in the hope of your calling. Now if you're here this morning and you're saved, you got called in. Nobody had anything to do. You heard the preaching. The word of the Lord spoke to your heart. But if you got saved, the Spirit of God called you into the family, gave you repentance, and gave you faith that you might be saved. Unlike Billy Graham and now, you know, what's his other Franklin that's on TV and several others getting in and saying, now just bow your head, repeat this prayer, call that number. That ain't the way it works. Let me tell you, when God rings your heart's door, knocks on your heart's door, it'll be a personal thing. And not only that, but there'll be a calling that comes with it. And so I hope and trust that you know Him in the free pardon of sin. If not, maybe you shall before this day is ended or even this week is out. Now, Father, bless, I pray the word of the Lord to every heart. We do thank You for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. Bind the devil of a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray You'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. And we'll thank You in advance for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on the bond of peace. Now I want to say that whenever you begin to look into it in verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity, and the Bible said there, in the bond of peace. The Bible said you keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That means is that if you're going to ever come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and have this peace of God that passeth all understanding, there's going to be a calling involved. I remember this morning, you've already heard a testimony when my son-in-law, or at least one of them, stood up there. That's what was going on with him. God was knocking on his heart. God was calling him into the family. He was coming to church, sitting down, getting up, leaving out, lost just like he came in. But when God finally made it known unto him, I'm calling you, son, I'm calling you in. I don't care if you're a boy or girl. I don't care. You know, I'm amazed sometimes that these young lads and these little girls that'll walk down, some of them nearly about crawl down to the altar, and some knucklehead of a preacher wants to get them to repeat this prayer, telling you're saved. No, you're not. Let me tell you something. When God gets a hold of your heart, there's no such thing as a 2-year-old Holy Ghost or a 50-year-old Holy Ghost. God works, buddy, in a mysterious way about it. But let me tell you, you'll have to understand you're lost and undone without God before you can ever get washed by the blood and born into the family. Somebody may ask and say, listen, are you saved? I don't know. I don't know. You ask my mama. Well, you're not. When you get saved, I guarantee you right now is that mama may not ever know nothing about it, but you'll know something about it. I don't know, ask my daddy. I got to tell you, honey, this is a personal thing that we're talking about, that God's working in your heart and in your life. You know, we live in a world that's a divided nation. And the Bible said a divided house cannot stand. Now, you know, one of the knucklehead things, I don't have time to get on, but if you notice the last real knucklehead stupid thing that happened, is that we have traded a Russian spy that's a killer, that's a bomber, that's a threat to the United States security that we had in prison, and they traded him back to Russia for a black woman queer. That's an athlete that got caught going into the country with drugs that she got caught with, and they locked her up. Now, that's just how stupid we are in this country that we're living in. I know you're not. I realize I know you're not. But the people we've got in leadership are, and that's what they have proven. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it in the book of Amos, don't turn there. But over in chapter number 3 and verse number 3, the Bible said, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you're here this morning, you're saved. You've been called into the family. You've been saved by the grace of God. You've got the peace of God that passeth all understanding in your heart. And let me tell you what happened is that there's a unity that God has placed upon you and within you. And let me tell you something about the bond of peace that's there. You know what it is? It's like it's a ligament that's working that helps. You know, the reason I can move my hand this and that way is because of ligaments that are connected to the rest of my body. And what he's talking about, whenever you and I get born again and we keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, then you don't make a move that God's not in. And let me tell you, when you do, God smites your heart about it. But let me just say to you, there's a bondness of unity. That means the war's over. There's not a problem anymore. Some of you, every now and again, you know, you're thinking about how good it is to dwell together in unity, and it is, and it really is. Why do you think God says that you're not let the sun go down on your wrath? I realize, though, that sometimes you've got somebody that rubs you the wrong direction. But do you know that real unity, real peace, real fellowship begins at home? Now, I know every now and again, and I mean, I know all of you ladies that are here, and I know your husbands and this and that, and I realize and know that sometimes he gets under your skin, gets your dandruff up, and I mean, absolutely just makes you want to jerk all the hair out of your head. He don't know exactly how to treat you and how to be nice to you and how to be good to you, and I'm telling you, he buys nice stuff for himself and the cheapest stuff he can find for you. This is your chance, ladies, to holler amen. I know all about that. I mean, my word, he doesn't know how to treat a lady. And let me tell you right now is that as a result of that, you're going to have to do a little bit of work there at the house. You're going to have to do a little bit of work at home. You know, I don't know about you, but I've met ladies that, and I don't think anybody like that here, but it could be. I know some ladies, buddy, that feel like their husband think that she's just a white slave. I got you doing this, and I need you to do that, and by the way, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, you keep on running that mouth like that, and you're going to have to take me to the doctor, get my foot taken out of your south end. I realize, though, that when there's unity, buddy, a man ought to act like Christ and love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, well, Jesus wasn't married to you, honey, like he's telling you that. Yeah. Well, before you get too critical, let me just say you picked her. Before you get too critical, fellas, let me just say to you, not only did you pick her, but let me say to you, ladies, that shoe's on the other foot. You picked him and said, I do. Do you take? I do. Do you take? I do. And now we did, and all of a sudden now the lid's blowing off. I do, I do, we did, now the lid is gone. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, why do you think that in Ephesians, by the time you get to chapter 5, husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? Why do you think that over there he tells the wives how to be submissive and how to be in reverence at her husband? Why do you think over there that he talks about how that children ought to obey their parents in the Lord? Why do you think that? Why do you think it's that way? I can tell you something. You can either spend your life in misery just dragging through religiously life, and either you can enjoy it. You can either endure it or you can enjoy it. But let me tell you, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory because the half has not yet been told. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, life comes from the Lord. Now, I don't want you to lose your lesson here. I want you to keep that because we're going to look in Matthew chapter 133, excuse me, Psalm chapter 133. And I was trying to flip through there, and I was reading faster than I was flipping. And so as you look there in the book of Psalms, chapter number 133, we're talking about being in unity. We're talking about the Spirit of God. We're talking about loving God, living God, and living in the bond of peace and unity one with another. We're talking about one calling that comes from God and how that God calls us into His family and we get washed by the blood and born again into the family of God. Now, let me tell you, if you're ever going to have the peace of God, first thing, you've got to have peace with God. And doesn't make any difference what anybody else says up and down the road of life, is that if it's contrary to the mind of God, let God be true and every man a liar. And if you'll just stay with what God said in the Bible. Now let me say, in this Bible lesson you're looking at, do you realize that, no, that over there in the book of Psalm 133, the Bible said in about verse number 3, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. And you know what happened is that somewhere, and I forget now, 6,000 to 9,000 elevation up there, that snow would melt, go to help water in them creeks and them little tributes and stuff like that, and those little rivers and stuff, and that good cool and freshened water and all that business there. And let me tell you, he said, for there, watch it, the Lord commanded a blessing. The blessing, even life forevermore. If you're sitting here this morning and you're hell-proof and heaven-bound, it's because there's a time that God pronounced life unto you and gave you life, but to the last time, He granted you repentance, He granted you faith, and birthed you into the family, and when God did, He did it forever. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, that's why we're keeping unity in the bond of peace. And let me say it once again, if you're going to ever have peace, the peace of God, you're going to have, first of all, peace with God. That means the war's over. Now, back over in our text that we were looking at in Ephesians in chapter number 4, when we looked there in that passage, this Bible said in verse number 4, there's one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. There's that calling there. And he says, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And the God and the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Now watch that right there. There's not two Jesuses, there's only one. There's not two fathers, there's only one. Do you know the Bible warned us, lest that you be enticed and pulled away by another Jesus, which is not another, by another gospel or by another spirit? Do you realize that, no, that, buddy, that God's letting you know that there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved? That is the name that's above every name. It's the name of the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to watch this here. Somebody's asking this question. Well, why can't we just all get along as religious people? Because I can tell you why. If you're contrary to the doctrine of Christ, contrary to the doctrine of God, the Bible said, if anybody preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. You've been cursed with a curse from God. It isn't because of me. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and this is going to blow your mind, and I want you to listen all the way through to it. Some of the most pathetic, sorriest people that I know are in the Baptist church. I mean, just makes me want to throw up. You think I get sick to my stomach when I see Maxine Waters? Well, I do. But I'll tell you, somebody make me sicker than that. That's a bunch of bleeding heart, liberal, not believing the Bible, Baptists in the day and hour we're living. You know, I can tell you what happened along the missionary Baptists. They took the power out of the pulpit, the authority out of the pulpit. That's what missionary Baptists have done. I've been in some of those business meetings when somebody said, well, wait a minute, what about this or that? And somebody, I don't care. The majority rules here, and they didn't care if God was in it or not. The Southern Baptists have come along and put worldliness. They've made the church more worldly and the world more churchy. It's the day we're living in. But as sorry as Baptist people are, you'll not find anything wrong with Baptist doctrine. Do you realize at all that we're the only entity upon the face of the earth, we're the only organism on the face of the earth that does not teach baptismal regeneration, which means is that you can get saved in a baptistry. We're the only one. Church of Christ don't do that. They preach baptismal regeneration. United Pentecostal, they don't preach it. They got the best peanut patty you'll ever lay your lips on, but the worst damnable doctrine. You'll find the Roman Catholic believes the same thing, the Church of Christ, transubstantiation, that you come in contact with the blood of Jesus whenever you're eating that wafer or in that water. You'll find that the United Methodist Method, which is a wetback Catholic. I just want to tell you, dear friend, we're the only big church across the country as sorry as our people are. That preaches salvation by grace through faith, and there's one baptism that's mentioned. There's the Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ the day you got saved. Now, you know the reason why that I know that? I studied the doctrine of Christ inside and out. There was a time that I was so sick of Baptists, I wanted to go ahead and get rid of them too, but I couldn't find anybody else. I had a Church of Christ preacher friend, an Assembly of God preacher friend, and I was talking to him, and I thought, you know, I'm just sick of Baptist. He's actually, and I left him years ago. And then when I found out the many places they were contrary to the Scripture, but I was all right with him then. I'm just going to stick with the book, friend. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it when you begin to look into it, is that the reason we just can't get along, I'd have to ignore what Christ had to say. I had a Roman Catholic lady that owned a nursing home over in Louisiana. She said, you know what's wrong with you, Brother Anderson? You're just not ecumenical enough. I said, thank you very much. I didn't know if you was going to notice that or not. I said, the reason being is because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not ecumenical. We're not just trying to all get along, and we're not just all headed to the same place. I had a Methodist woman one time when I first got saved. I didn't know much about the Bible whenever I first got saved, but I was in the office there. But she was a Methodist. I'm talking about to the sprinkled tea. And anyhow, I said, well, ma'am, let me ask you this here. If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? She said, I have you to know that's a pretty personal question. I said, that's why I'm asking it, because you're a person. I said, I just was wondering. I was concerned about where you're going to end up. And she said, I don't want to talk about it. Oh, I see. You know the reason why she didn't want to talk about it? She wasn't scared of me. She's scared of what she believed. And in this Bible lesson, when you begin to look into it and see that, you begin to recognize and know that the reason we can't just all of us get along is because that there's too much out there in religion that's man-made. They laid aside the doctrine of God that they might teach for commandments, the commandments of men. And let me tell you right now, is make no mistake about it, is that you and I had better stay with what God says. There's not another way to be able to get to heaven. There's not another way. There's not another name. There's not another gospel. There's not another spirit. There's not another Jesus except the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he'll be contrary to man-made doctrine. Now look in Ephesians 4 there, and I want you to look at about verse number 13. The Bible says, till we all come in the unity of faith. There we are, unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son. Now, if you and I have got the same knowledge, we'll have unity. And if you and I don't have the same knowledge, we'll not have unity. But notice he said, and that you may be unto a perfect man the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind and of doctrine and by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. I want to tell you something, honey, is that truth will always be the truth. It's the truth right now. It was the truth when it started. It'll be the truth when Jesus comes again, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me, Jesus said. Now, here's what you're going to do. You're going to meet people that are either going to ignore that truth or they're going to embrace it, one or the other. And by the way, let me tell you something, is that I remember whenever I was but a lad, and I'd go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I've been to some of them business meetings that just make a buzzard puke. And I tell you something, is that As I was growing up in there, I don't know how old I was, but I was a young lad, as 8 or 9, 9 or 10, 7 or 8, somewhere along there. I walked down the aisle, took a preacher by the hand, told him I wanted to get saved, got in the baptistry, so forth and on. I could quote Romans 10, 9 through 13. I was able to be able to present some things of the Bible. I used to witness to people that I'd watch get under conviction, and there I was, religious but lost without God. See? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, here's what I noticed. Is that at the age of 24, I came to realize, you know, that what I was religious but lost without God. Every time the Holy Ghost of God would knock on my heart's door, I'd go to back and try to turn over a new leaf, try to do a little bit better, do all of this and that. But when I finally realized I was lost, undone without God, I didn't want to go straight to hell when I died. But when I got saved, I wasn't even worried about hell. I just wanted to be made a servant of the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, people that ignore the words of God, over there in the book of Romans, I'll give you one more there I want you to turn to before we get back in our lesson and be done. But in the book of Romans, in chapter number 10, in the book of Romans, in chapter number 10, in the lesson that's there, Paul the apostle had a real burden for his people, the nation of Israel. And then here's what he said. He said, they've got a lot of zeal, but not according to knowledge. In verse 3 of Romans 10, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, if you ignore the word of the Lord, you're going to end up yoking up with somebody that's invented their own way of religion. That's the way it is. In this lesson you're looking at over there, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we're closing with, in chapter number 4, about verse 16. The Bible says, for whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted, by the which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now here's what we know. When you and I got saved, He fitted us into the body of Christ. When you and I got saved, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I've knocked on the door and I asked people before, I say, hey, I just wondered if you would want to come visit in church, this and that, and so forth and on. And, oh, well, I go to church, this little church up the road there, whenever I do go. And I say, well, what's the preacher's name? Honey, what is that preacher's name up there? And all, he's pretty new, so I don't really know. What is that? Yeah. Didn't he just come here? Yeah. 12 years ago? Yeah. He just... There's somebody religious but lost without God. In this lesson you're looking at, when God saves you, He'll fit you into the body of Christ. Now, I can tell you one thing. You might rub me the wrong direction before this day is out, but you're not going to preach me off the bench with the Bible. Amen. You may say something that insults somebody that I like, and then I'm going to want to know, what would you say again, so in case I may want to agree with you? No. I mean, we're all of us subject to like passion, are we not? But we ought to have one thing in common. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. See, I'm probably not your cup of tea. You know, I just don't like the preacher that much. Well, God bless you. I'm not sure I like you either, whoever you are. A lot of people think that's the most asinine thing they ever heard of in their life. How can you, being a preacher, think you might not like somebody? I'm going to preach tonight. When you pass the point of no return, God said, don't even pray for that crowd. Don't pray for their good. I won't hear you. Make no mistake about it. We just need to get back down to what God said in the Bible and just embrace it instead of ignore it. I wanted this morning right here. I could have several people. We're not, but we could. To stand up and give a testimony when God saved you, brought you, snatched you as a brand from the burning. But the question is, what about you this morning? Do you know the Lord in the free pardon of sin? This would be a good time for you to make that commitment while we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, while our musicians are coming, our song director's coming. And maybe you'd say, preacher, I need something real from the hand and from the heart of God. I'm not saved. I want to be saved. I need to be saved. I ought to be saved. Lord, save me for Jesus' sake. I wonder if you'd come as we get ready to sing this invitation. Our Father, now we praise you and thank you that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. Move upon us and within us. We pray that, Lord, you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Lord, right every wrong. Give us strength in the inner man. And we'll thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?
Page
375. 375, while we sing, you come quickly as we do so. No way. I need something real from God, preacher. You ought to come. You ought to come. While God is tugging at your heartstrings, you ought to come. And after and you and see. While these are praying, others may want to come. What about you, man? What about you, woman?